way, we're happy to be in church. I appreciate you coming. Had a good day. The Lord blessed us with a beautiful day and a good day. I was hoping to get some rain this afternoon, but as of yet, we've not got it. But we're still praying, asking the Lord to give us some good showers of rain for our garden. We're in the book of Proverbs this evening. The book of Proverbs. We're good to see you, each of you. Grateful for your coming. Good to have Brother Sammy back after being absent a few services. Good to see Janet back after being absent for more than a few services. She's been out of state in several states and for quite some time, managed to get back home, and we're glad she's back with us this evening. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I think we pretty well got through verse 13 on last Wednesday night. We'll pick up on 14. We'll read the rest of the chapter, although I do not intend to try to cover all this chapter. We'll try to cover just a few verses and try not to be very lengthy tonight. I know many of you are tired, but I appreciate you taking time to come. Good number. I appreciate you being here this evening. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, strong men retain riches. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. His righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abominations of the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is out with... Let's start all over. Verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. The blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. He that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. The fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Pray for me. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the day. You've been good to us. I appreciate your blessings. Lord, we're aware of our inabilities and our insufficiencies. We do know that our sufficiency is of the Lord. And I thank you. I thank you for helping us many, many times as we stood behind sacred desk to preach and teach and minister from the Word of God. And I'm trusting you to help me this evening as we try to remember what we studied and try to just expound these truths tonight. Please help us in it. Would you just help us tonight? Give us an understanding ourselves that we might teach and render an understanding to others of your wonderful word. And I'll be grateful if I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Verse 14, we're picking up, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I'm told this word we have here, counsel, it literally means to the steermanship, pilotage, direction, somebody in charge steering. And you know, our lives must be steered. If you don't steer the life, it goes in many different directions. And I'm grateful that we've had people to help us and steer us in the right direction. I'm grateful for parents that steered us in the right direction. I was greatly blessed as a youngster to have Christian school teachers. They would read the Bible in the morning before we start class, say prayer and pledge our flags, we were ready to go. That didn't take long, but my time well spent. And I've had people before, teachers, that would personally take time to instruct me concerning my life. I remember one lady in particular, Miss Nellie Bingham. Miss Nellie would take the time occasionally to scold me, but she'd do it so in such a sweet way that it'd touch your heart. I remember scolding me a time or two, but she was really steering my life in the right direction. I had a fellow to tell me one time. I had been preaching long and trying to learn. By the way, I'm still trying to learn. But he told me, he said, when you're preaching, said, look at the people, look at the congregation. He was just advising me, and I think that's good advice. He told me that, and then I've read that and heard that since then, different times. Counsel, steermanship. A lot of times in life, if people don't seek advice, think things out, get some help and direction, they do things in a rash way, and it turns out to be the wrong way. So may the Lord help us. I remember when I was pastoring another church several years ago, and it seemed like we had many problems in a short time that I pastored that church. Had a lot of problems. And, of course, I'd been pastoring a long time myself. But on more than one occasion, I would call my friend, Brother James Jones, over to Tabernacle. And I'd say, Brother Jones, how do I need to handle this? What do I need to do? And most time, he would try to tell me the direction that he felt like I should take. You see, two eyes see more than one. Two eyes see more than one. So if you can get somebody else looking at the situation, they may see things. So may the Lord help us in this. Been said that mutual advice is in order to mutual assistance. And I think that's true. Now, here's an illustration. Here the Bible said, this verse of Scripture, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Illustration was somewhat given to me, maybe not in these exact words and with these exact numbers. Take, for instance, you're trying to make a decision, an important move you're to make in life. You've got something you're dealing with. You really don't know how to handle it. Well, you ask six people, people you trust and lived a while and walked in life, and you ask those six people, what should I do about this? Well, if all six of those people say, this is what you ought to do, if you can get a good conscience, there's one thing about it, you've got to live with self. I don't care what Brother Tweed would tell me to do, I do care what he would tell me to do, because I trust him. There's other people in here tonight. Not saying there's any of you I wouldn't trust you, but there's just people that I definitely trust you. And I get asked, and those six people, and if my conscience and what I felt to be what I needed to do, if those six people said that's what you need to do, I'm pretty confident that's what I need to do. But what if three of them says, hey, I'd be cautious about that. And the other three says, looks to me like it's an open door. Well, what do you do? Well, you look at both sides. Now you know information. They can probably tell you why or why not. And so even with that many counselors, three of them says do one thing, three says do another, you still got help by getting information and direction. Now we know three of them probably wrong, but still you've got something to go by. Be honest with you tonight, I'm afraid that many of us in life have made decisions without seeking advice, seeking help, and get ourselves in trouble. I've gave people advice before, and I hope it was right. We had a missionary that everybody in this church loved. He came through here, and we supported him, and done a tremendous job. And he was talking about his health, his wife's health, and I didn't know the man that well, but I was interested in his ministry, and I was interested in the welfare of his family. And I told him he ought to seriously pray about, seriously consider bringing his wife home off the field as sick as she was. And lo and behold, it wasn't long till we got news, we're off the field. And I'm taking the church that my daddy was pastoring, and he's going back to the field where I was at. I hope I directed him right. But I'm going to tell you, there are situations that affect your ministry. And if he's there on a foreign field and his wife's dying, I'm not real sure he's going to be very effective in his ministry. So not that I'm the sharpest cookie on the block, but there's a lot of things you need to consider. I don't know if there's anybody here tonight at all that's facing major decisions in your life. You probably are. I know myself, I'm 68 years old. I don't want to quit work till it's time for me to quit work. I want to know what's the best for me. We pastor this church, and I certainly would not want to mess up in resigning and surrendering and all of that until that time comes. Could I say these decisions are very important? And I promise you, I will probably seek more than one for advice when it comes time to definitely make those decisions. One thing be good to happen if Jesus was to come tonight. There's some decisions we wouldn't have to make, and there's some sorrows we wouldn't have to face. But if he don't come, and if we don't leave this soon, there's going to be some major decision we'll have to make. Remember this proverb: where no counsel is, people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Right quickly, let's think about folks that ought to counsel us, who we ought to look to for counsel. First of all, you ought to seek the Lord, ask him what you ought to do. That brings peace to me. That brings peace to you when you find out what the Lord wants you to do. I remember when I came here 23 years ago. And to be honest with you, my wife really didn't want to come here. And but I felt like we should, praying about it. And in reality, what she wanted to know was, I sure that this is what God, she could accept it, go along with it, be happy with the decision, but she wanted to know that I really knew that this is what God wanted me to do it. Well, I heard Brother Stubbs preach one time, time will tell. Time has told the story. But I'm just saying tonight, you need to be clear, and you need to have clarity in the decision you make, and the Lord can give you peace. Now, the Lord has never spoke audibly to me. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven saying, this is it, this is it. But I'm telling you, I have had the Lord to give me, speak to my heart, and give me peace in my soul. In 1985, I went to Albany, Kentucky, and tried out in the church. Didn't know nobody there in the county. One couple, one man and woman that I'd basically met and that I actually could call their name. And I came back home, and Church Pilot Mountain was doing pretty well, and I resigned. I just felt in my heart that's the very thing that I ought to do. Brother Alvin Goad, Starla Stewart's father, was my best friend. He was a deacon in church. And a few days thereafter, after I'd resigned, he said, "Preacher, if I didn't know you like I know you, I wouldn't even ask you this. But," he says, "are you sure that you're doing the right thing?" And I had such peace about that move that I could just literally laugh about it. I mean, I just had such peace about it. It all worked out. Ask the Lord. You young people, some of you fix to get married. That's a wonderful thing to do. Great thing. It's an honorable thing. It's not honorable to shack up and live together and raise family. Amen, that's right. But it's honorable to marry. But Lord, please make sure you talk to God about this thing, because it's a long, long world. Life. Amen. Make sure you know what you're doing. Seek the Lord's counsel. And then secondly, you ought to seek counsel from people that know and understand the Bible. Not just the preacher. Don't have to be the preacher. But these people that know the Bible and understand the Word of God, teachings of the Bible, go to them and say, "Hey, this is what I've got on my mind. This is what I've been thinking about. What do you think? What does the Bible say? How do you feel about it?" People that you know, understand the Bible. Seek counsel from them. Then people of experience. You know? Now, I don't know if that person has been married three years and three times. I don't know. They might tell you a whole lot, amen. They could probably tell you a whole lot not to do. But there's some way you make it. There's some way you make it. Some people say you got to love one another. Well, I agree with you with that, but there's been a lot of people that truly, really, sincerely loved one another that didn't make it. Sam and Betty have been married less than 100 years. What now, 60-something? 63, 64, for a good while. Somebody said Betty was too young. She was 15. That's pretty good, ain't it? Good thing they got started earlier. They wouldn't have made it 64. Amen. You say, "Well, surely you wouldn't advise some little 15-year-old girl to get married. If she knows God, loves man, she's ready for that." I'd be afraid to tell her not to. My wife wasn't a whole lot older than that. 3 years ain't a long time. We've made it pretty good. We've been married less than 50, but we're pushing it. Experience. You learn how. There's some capers I pulled when I was a young husband. They ain't no way I'd pull that now. 1,000 wonders, mine hadn't told me to go, man. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. I pulled some capers when I was a young man, a young husband. I wouldn't pull no more. You know, we used to fuss. We didn't fuss much. I just make her mad, hurt her feeling. But, it used to be the hair thing, And too much curl and this and that and something else, I'm about beyond all that. Amen. Now, I really don't want her to paint it pink or blue, but we're going to go to church and we're going to try to serve God if she paints it or dyes it pink or blue or whatever. I mean, seriously, I'm being honest with you. I mean, there's some people that have been around a few days. They probably could tell you some things if you just listen to them. Might be you ought to ask them. Your counselors, people of experience. Let's move on. In this chapter, we've done dealt with some of them. But we live in a world tonight. We live among people tonight. Now, sometimes you'd like to be like David and say, if I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. Well, the real problem with that, if I had wings like a dove and fly away, I probably couldn't rest because I've got to live with myself. We got to live a life, a social life, among people. And there's safeguards that we must have in this social life that we live in. First of all, I dealt with this last week. One good safeguard is seasonable silence, verse 12. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. That's how you get along with people. Keep your mouth shut. That's right. Secondly, kindly desire. The person of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He's got the right kind of a desire toward folk. And then, as I've already dealt with tonight, a fullness of counsel. And in verse 15, there must be caution in life. And it said, he that's surety for a stranger, so smart for it. He that hateth suretyship is sure. I think about this matter of shall smart for it. How many times have we said, man, that's smarts. That's what were this same thought. So we're to be very careful about other people's debts. Taking on responsibility of others. I'm going to be nosy a little bit. But I think we all need help. We have to help one another. My parents helped us tremendously when I was young. You've got to be careful about your children, your grandchildren, your relatives. I mean, you need a place to live yourself. I mean, you need a house to live in. You need a car to drive. Be very careful about other people's responsibilities. That's what this word means, this suretyship. Standing good for somebody else. He that hateth, that's sure. He's not going to fall into those problems. Verse 16, a gracious woman, changing from one subject to another. That's the book of Proverbs. Concerning different subjects, comparisons. A gracious woman retaineth honor. Strong men retain riches. There's a comparison here of a gracious woman and strong men. The gracious woman retains honor. Strong men retain their wealth, their estate. They keep a firm hold on their possessions. So the virtuous woman, she watches over her chastity and the honor that she has. And she guards that. Gracious woman. Not just personal attraction, but it has to do with moral excellence. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Please don't take me wrong tonight, but I've seen little old women that homely looking, but in reality there was a beauty about them. There was a grace about them. Are you with me? On the other hand, I remember, and I'm thinking of a particular person, maybe I'm judgmental, a public figure, for a good-looking woman, but the way she talked, the way she conducted herself, the way she dressed, she certainly was not retaining honor. May the Lord help anyone and all of us to understand that there's a life, and when we live a life and obtain honor, don't lose it through carelessness, foolishness. The mighty man, strong man, they don't just throw it away. They keep track. They know what they've got. And there's nothing wrong with saving for a rainy day. There's nothing wrong with saving for a rainy day. So just as this strong man knows what he's got and he keeps hold of that, a gracious woman, a woman of character, a woman of grace, a woman with a testimony, she guards that. And she retains that by her guarding that. That's right. Let's move on. Verse 17. The merciful man. Merciful man doeth good to his own soul. He that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Merciful man, the tender, good-humored, the kind, loving man, the merciful man. Matthew Henry was a man of sound words. I don't think I've ever heard this statement until I read it today. Have you? Matthew Henry said, we are friends or enemies to ourselves. The Bible said here that this merciful man doeth good to his own soul. He does good to his own soul. He makes and keeps himself easy. He has the pleasure of doing his duty and contributing to the comfort of others. He that waters others with his temporal good things shall find that God will water him with spiritual blessings. On the other hand, a cruel, froward, cruel man, he troubles his own flesh. So we are friends or enemies to our own selves. You think about the person that's full of envy. Envy will usually include malice, greediness of the world. And the proverb says, 14:30, envy is rottenness to the bones. So we are either friends or enemies to ourselves. Verse 18. Wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. A deceitful work. He builds his house on the sand, but oh, when the storm comes, then it falls. He's deceitful. He's a person that's not honest. He's deceitful. Very deceitful. I've heard of oil changes. People would make a certain dot on the filter. Lo and behold, didn't change my filter. I've heard of car dealers telling old women and young women and anybody else they get by with, your car needs this. Pretty good markup in parts. Amen? That's what we're dealing with. The deceitful person. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I guess one of the most familiar passages every preacher's preached any time has quoted these verses, but Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How true. Sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. Sow a life of deception and that's what you'll reap. Could I say tonight that a life of righteousness will reap a full recompense? Verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Pursuing evil. Think about this. Righteousness, not only by divine judgment, God working. Righteousness, not only by divine judgment, will end in life and wickedness in death. But righteousness in its own nature has a direct tendency to life and wickedness to death. Sad, but it's true. You've seen it. People practice that life of wickedness, and finally one day, judgment comes, death comes. In reality, it troubles me. Because you know that the devil is a deceiver. I went to school, in grade school, with a young man that turned out to be a thief. He was known to be a thief. He was a year or two younger than myself. And lo and behold, it's been several years now. He was breaking in a house and somebody shot him and he was dead. This Bible is true. Righteousness tendeth to life. Sin, deception, all of this, it within itself has that tendency. Of course, God has a judgment, but these paths themselves lead somewhere. That's what we have. Verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Are his delight. What about that? Do you think God delights in people if they're upright? Have you ever thought about this? God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And he went on to tell him how good he was. He delighted in him. He delighted in him. That's what we have here. The Lord delighting in the upright. Matthew Henry said, "It concerns us to know what God hates, what he loves. By that we can govern ourselves accordingly. We may avoid the things that he's displeased with and recommend ourselves to his favor." What does it say here? The froward are an abomination. They that are of a froward heart, froward, distorted from the right, they're very offensive to God. We're talking about hypocrisy, double dealing, pretending justice, intending wrong. Pretending justice, intending wrong. Pleasing to God is sincerity and plain dealing. Closing with these remarks. Human conduct. That's what we've dealt with tonight. Human conduct. Viewed, looked upon as sowing that's followed by reaping. Work that's followed by wages. Action that's followed by reaction. Human conduct. It does matter how you live. God knows our hearts. All of us fail, falter, make mistakes, sin, come short of God's glory. But God knows that in our hearts we desire to please him, not trying to beat anybody. There's an old man. I say old man, he's older than I am, so he's an old man. In reality, he's worked hard all his life, and I need to talk to him. You pray that I'll get around to doing that, okay? Sincerely, please pray that I'll get around to doing that. I talked to him one day this week, Monday, I believe. And here's what the fella said. Just poor man, raised a house full of kids. Cut paper wood and firewood. But he said, I'll tell you what he told me. He said, "I was somewhere and they gave me so much money back and they gave me too much money back and I told them that they gave me too much money back. He says, I don't want nothing that ain't mine." Probably a lost man. That ain't going to save him, but that's good. Amen? May the Lord help us tonight to sow seeds of righteousness. They do come up. They do produce. Amen. Thank you for listening. We'll pick up here sometime later. I appreciate you being so faithful to listen. Let's stand to our feet and shake hands. We'll have prayer. Bless you, Toy. Appreciate you, buddy. Ready?